fake book, getting that out there now. And we're going to start up with some music. I think we'll play some of me. Good evening, kia ora tātou, e hōma, welcome to you. And you know what, we were a little bit late because we're just getting our sound completely right tonight. Otherwise you'd be hearing echoes and all sorts of stuff, and it's just awesome to be having a good sound tonight for you. Please let me know if there are any issues and we'll do our best to fix them as we go. Well, I tell you, what a week. I know I went live on Thursday just after Jacinda announced the resignation, myself and Sister Tiamata Williams. And I tell you what, I was just thinking to myself, well, I need to have a chat about this with Vinnie, because under Ardern's leadership and under her, under her direction, we were arrested and we were imprisoned for that short time, but we have been persecuted and prosecuted and harmed greatly underneath her leadership. Have we had a kind New Zealand? I think history is going to judge her very, very harshly. And from what I see of the media stories and what's going on around the world, everybody is kind of unanimous in the idea that she had done her time and she ruined New Zealand. I mean, even, okay, you've got all the Jacinda lovers out there. You've got all the woke people that think that sexualizing 8, 9, 10-year-old kids and talking to them about transgender issues and gay sex and all of that is a good thing, and killing full-term babies, etc., is a good thing. You got all that ilk that just can't see through this. I'll tell you one thing that's really clear to me over the last couple of years is this. I'm actually not a lefty or a righty, because I was protesting about John Key. I was out there. I was talking about, I mean, I went to those incredible classes with Professor Jane Kelsey, and it was all the, you know, how terrible John Key was, and I was on the walker with them. But where are all those people now? Where's the Professor Jane Kelsey standing out there talking about rights and freedom and all that like they were back in 2018 or 19? Where did all these people go? And what are they going to do now? You know, it's great, you know. Wow, I mean, it's been a huge, huge, huge mess. 5 years of it. And we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about all the issues surrounding this whole thing, surrounding this whole drama that has been Jacinda Ardern for the last 5 years. And I've got to say something. I do not like speaking ill of people. I truly, truly do not like it. I do not enjoy it. I don't think it's a lovely thing to do at all. And I think it's horrible to have to do that, but we have to report the facts. And you know, since her resignation on Thursday, I've been really reflecting on the things that I've said about her. I truly have. I've really taken a deep look at it, and I've been thinking to myself, you know what, I'm still right. My personal hard-edged assessment of myself and my assessment of this woman who rocketed into the Prime Minister's role literally out of nowhere, thanks to Winston Peters, never forget that. And I had an interesting thought about that today, actually, which we'll talk about soon. But we've all been hammered by this Prime Ministership of this particular Prime Minister. Yes, John Key was a pain. I didn't like him. I didn't like him. Didn't really like Alan Clark, but I didn't like him. And then we got served this up, and now we got Chris Hipkins, the same guy that said he will not rest until he goes out and finds every man, woman, and child in New Zealand and sees them vaccinated. Vaccinated, that magic V word that they'd love to use. So we are going to unpack this tonight. We're going to take our time to do it, so buckle up, get your cups of teas. I'm hoping that you've all had dinner, and I just rushed down some vegetarian pies that my beautiful wife made me and quickly got those down, so I could be sitting here. I've got my hot drink just sitting here. I've got Vinny in the background waiting to come in, which is great. But just a reminder, guys, by the way, that beautiful poster that you just saw, that street banner, is up in Whangarei, and it's getting heaps of toots and acknowledgements. So, wow, how about that? Anyway, if you'd like to support the work that I do, if you appreciate the research, the time I put into this, the broadcasting, my ministry work, and of course my legal fees, got some interesting news on that as well tonight. But if you'd like to support me in any way, this is the way to do it. This is the bank account here. This is not the documentary account. This is my account. This is my whānau account, my account. And please, we need your help. We know it's tough out there. I know it's tough out there. But the only way I can do this work is if I have help to do it. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right, this is my job now. And if you think I'm a grifter, then go away, because I've dedicated my life now almost to 3 years to this and have lost a lot along the way. But on the humble side of me, thank you very much to all of you that do support me in the work that I do. If you'd like to support the development of the River of Lies New Zealand Scandemic, then please go to riveroflies.co.nz and please hit the donate button there, and you'll be able to donate to that awesome, awesome, awesome project. And I'll give you an update on that a bit later. All right, then, let's do it. Let's get this big guy, 6 foot, 6.5, commentary going over here. And what we're going to have to do here is actually, you know, too busy talking with my mate. I don't do this, I don't get him on, so let's just do that. And there he is. I'm hoping he's drinking something like, I don't know, orange juice there. What are you drinking there? Welcome anyway, brother. Brother V-Man, welcome. Good to see you.
Well, you weren't right, but you were kind of half right. I was drinking water from a filter out of this bottle here of, what was it, Popper Pete's Organics, the Royal Gala Organic Apple Juice bottle. Yeah, man, very, very tasty.
All right, mate, I'm just trying to get us all in the screen in the right way here. I should have done this with you, but we just got too busy talking and lost our rag doing that, so let's just get this right. I think I'm going to be happy with that. For now, I'm just going to check camera 4 and make sure you're on there, and it looks like you are, so I'm happy with that. Okay, all right, so let's crack into it. Vinny, it's been, wow, what a few days. I want to get your thoughts about the idea that Jacinda is gone, and then we'll unpack everything else. But what do you think, mate?
Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, there really isn't that much to say. You have a look at, I think this is my second prime ministership that I've covered from start to end. I started covering the news back when John Key first came into power and exposed him, with John Key exposed in 6 minutes. And then we had Jacinda Ardern. Even before she came into power, we did Jacinda Ardern exposed, and including the entire Labour Party and their history in 7 minutes or less. So it's a sad story because at the very beginning of these politicians' reign over us, you get a deep chill, and you unfortunately only get justification for that chill later on, because you know that your instincts were correct the whole time. There's something's wrong here. This is going to be bad. And sure enough, it was. Indeed, it might have been the worst time of probably almost everybody's life in the country. I can't think of anybody collectively having a worse time than this, maybe since World War II with rationing or so, or something of that nature. But yeah, we're talking about immense human suffering that's been caused over here, and death and impoverishment. And she comes out with her little press statement saying that she reduced child poverty
Oh, no,
and
and the
that
housing.
she built so many homes for New Zealanders. She makes all these claims, and I wonder if there's any evidence to ever back them up. You feel like you're on some kind of psychoactive substance listening to her speech. It's unreal how it twists and distorts, and is all brightly colored and shady and nebulous. You know, that's what it's like listening to Jacinda. And I am grateful, at least, for the opportunity to not have to see her face on every single billboard. I mean, everywhere you go, you're seeing her face. That was just horrific. You
Well,
know? Boom, there it is.
I tell you what kind of intrigued me is that she makes this announcement. I walk into a supermarket down in Dunedin, and you know how they have all the magazines at the counter? She's everywhere in all these magazines, front cover. And I'm thinking, and it's all about, it's legacy type language, you know, about her legacy and her role and what she's achieved and done. And I thought to myself, my word, you know, we've been living in an alternative universe almost. You know, Vinny, one of the things that I really want to, you know, explore is why is it that people can't see what you and I and many other people are seeing? Can you change your camera, bro? You're just taking yourself completely out of focus. There you go, you're back in. And it really astounds me that there are still people left that can't see through the propaganda, the
If I
PR
may,
campaign.
if I may, the reason why a good lie sticks is it's something that people want to believe. People wanted to believe that there's this Auntie Cindy out there who's going to save them, who's going to protect them, who's going to look after them. They wanted to believe it. And because they wanted to believe it, they are too unwilling to let go of their belief, because they actually get joy protecting lies. This is an interesting psychological study that was done that I heard about, where they measured the endorphins in people's brains when they were made to tell lies to protect their income. And it had a very close and clear relationship. It makes people feel good to lie to protect themselves and their income.
Interesting spin on it. Interesting spin on it.
What we've got is a population of people who are liars. They lie to themselves. They lie to each other. And why is it any surprise that somebody who comes along with a big lie that is so nice to hear would not be believed?
Right. Okay. All right. Let's take that on. Take that on until we unpack it a lot further. Right. I'm going to go to camera four. And I want to have a look at the actual resignation announcement itself. Let's have a look at that, and then I'm going to share some thoughts.
I believe that leading a country is the most privileged job anyone could ever have, but also one of the more challenging. You cannot and should not do it unless you have a full tank, plus a bit in reserve for those unexpected challenges. This summer, I had hoped to find a way to prepare not just for another year, but another term, because that is what this year requires. I have not been able to do that. And so today, I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election.
And I think right at that point, people across New Zealand, a good number of people actually celebrated, but we need to learn a bit more.
And then my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February. This has been the most fulfilling 5.5 years of my life.
Okay, let's just leave it there for a second because I want to unpack this a wee bit. Now, I think, you know, she kicks off. I want to examine a little bit about the body language here because she kicks off the speech, looking all very business as usual, goes through the motions and that, and then she gets to the point where she's clearly talking, getting ready to let it rip that she's resigning. Now, she, watching her body language, she takes a breath and then says, I've been unable to find that, that fuel in my tank to keep going. Another sort of breath, and then, so I'm resigning. Now, and that's where it appeared that her voice cracked a wee bit. Now, either she's a great actor and she's putting all this on to gain sympathy and empathy, right? Which, I'm sorry, I'm a real empath, man. I really am, and I really care for people, but she didn't get any out of me for this, I'm afraid. And, or this was a tell. And she was obvious. To me, I think there's a couple of options of what this could be signaling. Number one, that she didn't want to let go and that she's been forced to make this resignation because of the breath, the break in her voice, then the announcement that she's going. It kind of like was, to me, it seemed like it was like, you know, I'm being pushed to do this. I don't really believe in it. I don't really want to, but I'm going to have to do this. And here it is. I'm resigning. There's either that or it's the let's go for the empathy and the sympathy card and let's do that. Now, interestingly enough, that same day that she did this, out came all of these announcements by and from people like Helen Clark saying that it was misogyny that made her do this. That was all the vile hatred vile hatred but misogyny. The implication was there's misogyny within Parliament that wore her down and she's leaving because of that. Do you believe any of that, and what are your thoughts about that, Vinny?
I was just thinking about immediately getting out on the streets and spray painting a little sign and holding it up. Misogyny made me do it. You know.
Misogyny made me do it. I know. You know, honestly, when you look at all of the legacy comments about her from the left, shall we say, from the woke socialist media, government-paid media, you know, literally the day that she announced her resignation, immediately out came this plethora and platter of a menu of of wonderful statements about Chris Hipkins immediately. He hadn't even been confirmed as candidate for PM, and out it came. It started almost straight away. Out it came, flying out the door as soon as Stuff could do it. It was out there, so Stuff were basically shoring up the next 7 months worth of revenue. But
this guy looks like Pippin from Lord of the Rings, mate. Like, honestly, what enemy of New Zealand is going to be afraid of this man? I ask you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, look, we'll talk about him soon. Let's just stay on the line about Jab Cinder here. But it's an interesting ploy, this giveaway in this body language thing. Now, I truly am not, despite the media history saying that I am, I'm not prone to controversies and conspiracies and things like that. But I'm just going to play this again.
Is what this year requires. I have not been able to do that.
Breath. Pause.
And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And then my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
Now, to me, there's something amiss here. I don't know what it is, but there seems like there's something amiss here, because if she was really happy about resigning for her own reasons, like being with Clark, being with Neve, and being a mother, then I reckon there'd be more of a resolution sounding voice that would be there. There'd be more sort of conviction about it. But she kind of looks like someone that's had her toys ripped off her and told you can't get them back. What do you think?
Yeah, might be a fair assessment. I'm just remembering when John Key stepped down, he said he wanted to spend more time with the wife and kids, and he definitely wasn't going overseas to work in banking again or something like that. And then he immediately went overseas and worked in banking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, one of the interesting articles that came out today, which is an assessment by Paul Buchanan. Now, Paul Buchanan is an interesting guy. He's an academic. He's a former intelligence operative for the United States government. He used to work for various presidents. He gives threat assessments, gave threat assessments to the Secret Service for presidents, etc. But look at his article. Look at the article that came out today from an interview from him or involving him. Jacinda Ardern will need more ongoing protection than any prime minister in New Zealand's history, expert. At least they got that right. He is an expert in these matters. But isn't that, in some respects, she's a victim of what she's created? She said she was going to create the most kind version of New Zealand we've ever seen. Her government will be transparent, and yet it's been neither. There's a bit of noise coming through, bro.
New Zealanders are kind until they're not. And so there might not be a lot of kindness for Jacinda going forward, especially when people realise what she's actually to blame for.
Yeah, right, okay. So really the idea that she needs this ongoing diplomatic protection service kind of speaks a lot, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, she talked long and hard every time. Let's be kind. Next thing, vaccine passports. Does this mean there's going to be two classes of people? You may not see it this way. Yes, no, that's exactly what I mean, she said to the Stuff reporter. There will be two classes of people. Those who have their rights and are vaccinated, and those who don't have their rights and remain unvaccinated. And yet now we know it didn't matter anyway whether you are or you are not injected, because the thing was never going to stop you from getting it in the first place. Now, you know,
I was talking to David Holden about this, and he says that there's everybody's now got spike proteins because all the unvaccinated have been mixing with the vaccinated and stuff like that, and they've all been doing all this shedding. And that is naturopathic practice. He has to do a complete blood cleanse every 6 weeks because of his contact with injured patients who've had the shot. So, yeah, I think Matt Bowden, former creator of Party Pills, he started looking at this problem of people who are shedding, and he's actually created a detox sort of chemical that's able to deactivate the spike proteins and all that nanotech and stuff of that nature, and enable your body to purge it out. And David Holden has been prescribing it to his patients. So yeah, everybody, holdenhealthcare.com if you want to get yourself some of that.
Okay, so let's stay on track, Ebony. I want to really dial into Jacinda, because now we've got this whole thing that, okay, she needs ongoing diplomatic protection squad care and support and protection because of what she's done, what she has done to people, how she's hurt them. I mean, at the end of the day, for a disease that upon contact most people have a 99.97% chance of survival we have seen thousands of New Zealanders, and I'm going to say thousands of New Zealanders, commit suicide. We've seen many thousands of New Zealanders attempt suicide. We've had over 30,000 businesses go under. We've had the division and destruction of relationships, friendships, whānau, families destroyed. We have seen the division of New Zealand divided into two, really. The fearful who believe the propaganda, and the people who say, no, there's something more to this, and we don't believe the propaganda. But over that, that overlay over that, is that she's saying, no, let's be kind. But the net outcome is that we've had the least unkind version of New Zealand we've ever seen. So it does not surprise me at all that she needs this. As someone just said, you know, you reap what you sow. You should certainly do. And it's not like she can actually turn around and say, well, you know, I did it because it was going to be a good thing. There's been nothing good about what she's done over the last few years. I'm talking everything. It's not just COVID. It's also the fact that she has sold New Zealand out from underneath us. Worse than what John Key did, and I thought he was unmatchable. First of all, she committed us to, well, actually, first of all, she signed off on the CTTPA, which she said she would never do. She then said that that New Zealand would commit fully to establishing and implementing Agenda 2030. Then her government signs on to the World Economic Forum programs for AI regulation, and it just goes on and on and on what she did. And I don't think these, I hate to say it like this, but I don't know if these, in human hearts anyway, there's much forgiveness for what she's done, the hurt, the harm that she's done. And I think it's flipped around from all the numbers that you see and people saying, yep, she had to go, she had to go, she had to go. Yeah, she did a great job, but she had to go. That's the woke people that are saying that believe the propaganda, but they still recognise that she had to go. What are your thoughts on that, Vinny?
Well, she needed somewhere else. I mean, look at her. She, on the international stage, she's got rock star status. And in New Zealand, they said that, what was it, about 70% of people in a poll said that they approve of her stepping down, right?
Right.
So the question is, how many of those 70% are like us and being like, well, yeah, we wanted to step down and we don't want to talk to her or anything like that. That's cool. And how many of them are just like those sycophantic Jacinda lovers who are like, oh, well, she said she had to go, so I approve it automatically. You know, so how much people in this country are actually really fed up with her? I mean, I was driving up Matakana just recently, and there's a red shed on the road out there that says F Jacinda. And it has apparently been there, according to the locals I was talking to, for like 2.5 years. And I said to them, you know why? They go, why? I go, because nobody's complained.
Yeah, that's why. It's because no one complained. That's exactly right. Well, I found another interesting article as well in my research on this issue. And Jim Bolger, I didn't like Jim Bolger. I was a lot younger when Jim Bolger was Prime Minister. But I remember not liking him back then. And he comes out with this. And we'll let the title speak for itself, shall we? Former National Prime Minister Jim Bolger says Jacinda Ardern's set for high-profile global roles.
You don't say.
You don't say. You don't need to be a former prime minister to work that out. But it's there up in lights, Vinny. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm shocked. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's this. I know that Helen Clark really, really, really wanted that UN Secretary General job. And is Jacinda the one to be the first president of the world? You know, Mr. Stay Safe, Be Kind, far enough away to not know anything about, with a good enough international reputation to maybe sway the entire world to a big smiling fangs. You know, I think it could be done, you
All
know.
right, right. Okay, we're going to go there shortly. But look at these quotes here from this article. Former National Prime Minister Jim Bolger has offered insight into the opportunities on the world stage Jacinda Ardern will be presented with after her resignation. The language. Look at the language here. But he was adamant none will rival the stress of being PM. Bolger, now 87, was Prime Minister from 1990 to 97. And said Ardern will definitely be approached with offers similar to what he received, including ambassadorships and chairing international companies. The 42-year-old Ardern would be particularly in demand because of her international profile as a young World Economic Forum female leader. I added the World Economic Forum part. Female leader Bolger said she's had a high public profile for a young woman who's become Prime Minister. She's a young person, clearly there'll be other opportunities that she may wish to take up. Well, I want to talk about that because last year, on that now famous trip where she called everybody that disagreed with her, all the New Zealanders that disagreed with her, she called them lone keyboard warriors, unfamiliar with adequate hygiene practices. Why would people want to hurt her for saying insulting things like that? I don't know. Why would they hate her? And superhero costume wearing individuals that have superhero costumes that are baggy in the wrong places. Now, on that trip, and I said this at the time, I said she was meeting at the UN, she met Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the UN, and then she went down the road and across the road to BlackRock and had a big old meeting there. And I remember saying to everybody at that time, she is brand marketing herself. This is more of a brand marketing job hunting exercise for Ardern than it is a brand New Zealand event or a diplomatic event. This is her marketing herself, and boom, here she is. Now, here's my assessment. Here's my assessment. She's gonna go away from here. She may do a few international TV shows, few interviews, keep her international media profile high, but she's going to just lay low, maybe for 1 to 2 years, because the offers are going to come, and they're going to be thick. But the big one that I reckon this timing matches is the Secretary General's role, which is going to come up again for election in 2005, 2006. Now, what will have bearing on that is that the Secretary General role is elected by region. You might have the Southern Hemisphere over here, you know, Oceania, sorry, Asia or Africa. All these different areas, they have a term each and they elect someone from that area. Now, with the Asia Pacific region coming up, I think it is, she'd be perfectly situated. Now, the problem that Helen Clark, now I met with Helen Clark when she was in the middle of her Secretary General bid in New York. I met her in 2016. Now, the interesting thing about that is that John Key ended up giving her $1 million plus of New Zealand taxpayer money. There you go. Here's $1 million. Good luck. Do well. Meet you for the covert cup of tea next time. And she didn't get it. Why? The primary reason I reckon she didn't get elected is because they would have had to have overturned the regional election process, and it was not our turn. But I think it is for this next one. And if so, that's where she's got her target focused. That's where she's got the sights on for that job. I think she's got potential ambassadorships, just like Bolger said, and jobs of BlackRock, Vanguard, any of the Bill Gates companies, you know, again, World Economic Forum companies. She could go anywhere. But the thing is, mate, I reckon she's going to wait between 1 to 2 years, and that's why I think her primary objective here as a target is probably going to be the UN Secretary General's role. What do you think of those assessments?
Yeah, I mean, that was, of course, the first thing that came to mind, you know, because that's just been a possibility since the days of Clark. It's like there's got to be some kind of person from New Zealand who's going to lead the world someday, because we're that non-threatening Western kind of thing. Like, out of all the Western nations, which is the least threatening to you? It's obviously New Zealand. Our Air Force was reported to be able to withstand enemy attack for about 7 minutes. So, you know, there's and the symbol of our Air Force is, of course, the Kiwi, which is noteworthy because it's a flightless bird. Anyway, the whole idea of bidding for UN Secretary General is that you need that personality and you need that kind of non-threatening, like, oh, who is this person kind of thing. But to have a president of the world kind of thing, and a world government coming in and that sort of thing, you need somebody like Jacinda Ardern to just sit there and smiling assassin her way out of any kind of claims that people have about corruption at the UN or child trafficking going on with the companies who are sponsors of the United Nations or any of that kind of stuff. You need a big smiling face to usher people away from the truth.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, one of the interesting things here is this article. Now, this is where we start getting into race and identity politics, which is a great trick of these wokesters. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern vilified and faced extreme hate Māori leaders. Now, this one here is unbelievable. This is Te Pāti Māori, and Tamahere, J. John Tamahere, praised Ardern's leadership style. Well, that's no surprising because he's a communist. He's ex-Labour. Now, then you have this woman here, Debbie Ngāruwa Packa, who worked so hard to get the needle into the arms of her babies, her tamariki and kaumātua in her region, in Taranaki. She's saying that she's an absolute high-class woman. And there you go, there's misogyny as well. No, it just goes on like that. But what surprises me is this: now you've got all these Māori turning up and saying, no, she did a great job. And then you've got another article like this: Labour's caucus needs to make sure the next Prime Minister is Māori, playing the race card. Instead of it being about the quality of the human, it's now, don't worry about any of that, it's the colour of your skin. But this one here is amazing. Māori King grateful for Ardern's work with the Kingitanga. Wow. And that is really, I'm from Waikato Tainui as well. I worked for a couple of months in the King's office in 2018, advising on international business stuff and culture and trade. But this irritates me. It irritates me because it shows you that money really does buy loyalty here, because there's no objectivity here. But the thing about these three articles I just showed you is that they're infusing the Māori issue with all of this and trying to make out, well, the next one better be Māori. Oh, by the way, we all love her. We think she's great. And let's just give co-governance to Māori, just like that. Boom. and let's create an apartheid document like Here Pua Pua, and it is apartheid. It is an apartheid document. If you're not Māori, you ain't much at all. Depending on the matrix of how much Māori you are, will depend on your quantum of respect, on the quantum of percentile of Māori that you have in you. And so, you know, and yet the original document, 1835, He Waka Putanga, is the most integrational document there is, that our ancestors in Ngāpuhi signed off first, then later on Te Potato, Potato Te Whereweru, he signed it, and then Hapoki from Kahununu, both tribes I'm related to there, from the southern tribes. And that's a beautiful integration document. But not this drivel that they've got down in Wellington in the form of He Pua Pua. That is a racist apartheid document. And yet, no. Let's just mosey on as if it's all okay. Let's just get into identity politics. But isn't it a shame, don't you think, Vinny, that they say, make sure the next Prime Minister is a Māori? Whereas what we should be saying is, let's blink and make sure that the next Prime Minister of New Zealand is a smart, intelligent, caring, honest, transparent voice for the people, who will do right for New Zealand, and only for New Zealand and New Zealanders, and the rest of the world can jump in the lake.
That'd be the way to do it. Anything else would be a very poor move indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. No, we don't need to listen to Cross the Rubicon, because he's a nut. Lee is too far that way. We need to look at this as a family of people that don't have racism in us. And I really mean that.
Oh, Lee's not racist. I was talking to him on my show the other day about the Kupapa kind of thing.
Yeah, no, hold on. Got to jump in there on that one, Vinny. Is that he said some... Look, I'm over the language of people saying we need to hang MPs. I'm over the language of people like Lee, like Dement, like Calvin, all of it, because it achieves nothing. Nothing at all. And all that vitriol that we've emptied out of our guts over the last almost three years now, it's done nothing. And so this is what I'm trying to say to people. This is not a left and right issue. This is not a brown and a white issue. This is a human race issue. And this is about rights and freedoms. And it doesn't matter which side of this political spectrum you sit. It's coming for you. And so from now on, my personal commitment is to blank out all of those people that are saying that stuff. Because I don't care whether it's coming from the politicians or from on our side. Because what we have to focus on now and be vigilant to understand is what we have facing us next. And that's going to take calm, it's going to take resilience, it's going to take stable thinking, and it's going to be about taking personal responsibility for ourselves. Because if we are continually going to look to other people to lead us into our personal freedom, then we will never have it. That's something that we've got to find, and that's when people say, go and listen to Cross the Rubicon or anyone, then immediately if those people don't have a sound, stable voice that I can get in behind, then that's over with me. I won't go there anymore. And I think all of us in the freedom movement need to wake up to ourselves, because I've just done a week of interviews with awesome people down in the South Island. Pākehā, Māori, farmers, businessmen, you name it down there. Ordinary Kiwis who do know what's at risk here, who have lost and a lot, and have been mandated, have been harmed, hurt, and we need to find a way out of this. And I think, sorry mate, I didn't mean to jump on you like that, but honestly, I'm over those voices. We need the voice of calm leadership now, because what we have ahead of us under this guy here, and that brings me to this guy here, this guy, and now this was put out the day before he became the lead candidate. Look at that. Chris Hipkins is preferred Labour leader. Now this guy here is the same guy that has knowingly withheld the Pfizer post-marketing report about their injection. If There's one thing I'm certain of from the documentary research, and this should be enough to astound people that are listening to this. Then no, he doesn't, Paul. Sorry, mate. Don't agree with you at all. You know, this is the same guy that has said, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to find every person that's unjabbed, and I'm going to jab them. At the same time, we had an Operation Protect orders to commanders that I've got. There is the whole facility there for the New Zealand government to deploy our military to do door-to-door intelligence gathering and fact-finding and interviews. That is not good. That is not good at all. And this guy here, Vinny, is the guy that was in charge of getting that underway. What do you think? Should we be worried about this guy?
It's always the quiet ones in a communist regime that rise to the top, because all the ones with personality and ideas and enthusiasm, stuff like that, they're a threat to all the rest of them. So they kind of henpeck those ones out of them. And the only scum that rise to the top are the lowest of the low, who keep their heads down far. And this appears to be this guy's time.
All right, let's hear what he has to say here. We're going to go over to the broadcast to him speaking and addressing people after today's decision and voting.
Endorsed me as their new leader and as the next Prime Minister of New Zealand. I've been humbled by the support shown by my colleagues, but also really excited by the focus and commitment that I have seen from them to make this a speedy and seamless transition in the best interests of all New Zealanders. As a team, we will continue to provide strong, stable, and focused leadership that New Zealanders expect from us. As I said yesterday, this is the biggest privilege and the biggest responsibility of my life. I am energised and excited by the challenge that lies ahead. New Zealand is the greatest little country in the world, and I have dedicated my working life to the service of our people and to making it even better.
Well, if that's you making it even better for us, mate, then may the Lord help us, because I tell you what, I think Sister B just said we should be very worried about Chris Hipkins, and I think you're right, we should be very worried about him, because you know what, this is why I knew it was going to be Chris Hipkins yesterday. Well, because there's no one else really that could step up to the plate, but mostly because he comes from the same background as Ardern. He's a former university mate. They've known each other forever as young people. They've come through the corridors of power as interns together. They've learned the trade of how to work and maneuver and manipulate the levers of power that are afforded you when you are in a role like this. They've learned to manipulate the media, the people along with it. And he is a communist. Let's not make no bones about it. He is a communist. Grant Robertson, probably a bigger communist than all of them. And, well, no, seconded only to Jacinda herself. And here you've got this guy here that's saying he's excited and that that New Zealanders will come to get the same stable leadership that they can expect that they've had already. What planet are they?
Did he sound excited when he said the words excited? I didn't detect any excitement. You know, the guy just sounds dull and boring, and he's going to lose the election.
Listen to this. Stoney just said something pretty. Just as you said that, Stoney says this. He speaks the same phrasing. Amazing. I mean, these guys are scripted up to the eyebrows. Let's just face it. They are scripted up to the eyebrows. They're media trained forever. And that's why, that's probably one of the reasons why Ardern didn't want to debate me, is because I don't know the rules. So therefore, I don't care about them. Therefore, I'll just say what needs to be said and worry about anything later. And then I used to get into trouble all the time. But, you know, Jamie Lee would be saying to me, oh, you've got to be careful what you say here. But why, Jamie Lee? We're our own political party. We work for the people. I don't care what the media or what other political parties think. We're here for the people. And, you know, and but these guys here, they never say anything out of line, because the line is set for them. And I was watching something today actually, with Justin Trudeau's brother online, and he was saying that every speech, every tweet of Justin Trudeau's is done for him, because he's on a message plank and he's not the one controlling it. Does that sound fair?
Look, if I was an artist and I had all these rules about what my art had to be, like all these rules, and I had to do it all day, every day, you're dang right, I would get myself a staff to do all that stuff for me, because I just wouldn't care, would I? Because it doesn't have anything to do with my ideas. It doesn't have anything to do with my personality. It doesn't have anything to do with my motivations. Why would I try to commit energy to it when I can just be an empty vessel and a shell and a front man?
Well, that's exactly what they are, aren't they? But I want to go here. So he's been put in this position. You've got what? How many months left? You've got 8 months thereabouts, 8, 9 months until the election in October. Now you've got all this time under Hipkins, and I think what they're going to do is I think they're really going to destroy as much as they can. I really do. I really believe that they are like it is likely they are really going to destroy as much of they as they can, and I think the economy. I think they're really going to stuff that up, and the reason for that is that it will shore up Luxon to win. They're gonna drive the nail into New Zealand's economy so deep and so hard that we would let Mickey Mouse run for Prime Minister and win the election if they promised to do a better job. And that's what Luxon is doing. Now Luxon has really got the personality of a smoked fish, and but he's saying all the right things on cue. Fix the economy, stop the crime. What else is he saying? Give people confidence, give them stability. He's saying all the buzzwords, easy to go buzzwords. But it's what he's not saying that we should worry about. He's not saying, I'm going to get rid of the carbon trading accords that we're involved with because they don't serve New Zealanders and they make no sense and they make life hard on everybody in New Zealand. We're going to get rid of that. We're going to get rid of the influence of the World Economic Forum in our New Zealand. We're going to get rid of that. We're going to decamp out of the deal for being an Agenda 2030 country. Get rid of that. And we're not going to go into the central bank digital currency program of the world, because we've got a currency that we're proud of. We're going to build that up, put equity into that, and we're going to make New Zealand a strong currency based on our performance as a nation to be better than the rest in competitive food production. Gee, I'm starting to sound like a politician. But the thing is, he's not saying any of that. He's not saying he's going to stop Three Waters. He's not saying he's going to stop significant natural areas. So, you know, it's just, but the point I was trying to make here, I forgot, I lost my way here, was that really what's going to happen is Hipkins is going to be the fall guy to lose the election, just like Judith Collins was, just like Simon Bridges went in for a period of time. But if you look at that point when John Key resigned from being Prime Minister, inexplicably, now I've heard all the rumors as to why he resigned. Some of them are very salacious. But he did. A few months out from the almost exact time, he resigns from the National Party and from Prime Minister, and he goes on to work for the Chinese or whoever else he's working for. And he goes away. Then old Bill English takes over. He wins the election by numbers, purely on preferred prime minister stakes. He wins it. But it was the Labour government in coalition agreement with Winston Peters that won the 2017 election. Now, this is something that I was thinking about today, Vinny, and listen to me closely. You know, it's looking like it's going to be a National Act government next time round. Government next time around. But can you imagine what would happen if everybody came up behind Hipkins and the other parties? Winston picks up some more momentum. Where do you think he'll go again? He won't go to National. He hates National. with all his heart, mind and soul. He's going to go back to these other guys. So if people think that Winston Peters really is for the people, he's suddenly a freedom-fighting politician now. The same guy whose minister, Tracy Martin, designed all of the legislative framework for the internet censorship bill that Chris Farfoy picked upon and created the hate laws and the internet online censoring bills. That was his minister that did that, and he knew it. He may not have known about Hea Pua Pua, he's saying he didn't, but he knew about everything else, mate, and he knew the contents of that COVID-19 Public Health Response Act when it was secretly read into the House at 4:30 or 4 in the morning. Do you trust them?
Nah.
Right. I think you can't get much more poignant than that. Now, Melanie is just saying that on News Talk ZB, Luxon was asked about WEF. And hold on a sec. And he laughed and said he didn't know much about it. Yeah, right. He blew it off. He's not honest and knows the agenda. Well, I think you're dead right, Melanie, because this is the same person that won Businessman of the Year from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, and he's been to global think tank conferences, he's been to them all. So if this guy doesn't understand what the WEF, he should have no problem saying, hey, look, any treaties that involve New Zealanders being made second class in our own country and our business interests second, they need to go. If he came out and said that, no more climate change rubbish, I'd believe him, but he's not going to.
Mm. All right, Billy, well, unfortunately, I've only apportioned an hour to be here, and I do have guests, so I'm actually going to have to go now.
Say hi to Mike for me, and as ever, Brother Vinny, thank you for joining us. Look forward to seeing you, and we do have a gift to share with you for the coming Bubba 2. So I'll see you soon, eh?
All right, thanks, everybody, and check me out at vinnyeastwood.com, and we've got a baby on the way, and this week, I think, is the due date, so we need a pram and a lot of other things, so any help you can be at vinnyeastwood.com, be much appreciated. Thank you so much, Billy. Love you, bro.
Love you, brother. See you soon. See you, mate. Take care.
See you, mate.
See you.
Bye.
Alrighty. Okay, so that was my little big brother, Vincenzo Eastwood, and it's good to spend time with Vinny because he sees things from a different angle. We don't always agree, by the way. We don't always agree on things. Doesn't mean I don't like him. He's my bro. Doesn't mean I won't like you because I don't agree with you. I've had a few comments tonight that I don't agree with. No, I am legitimately overhearing things about the white hats are doing this, all their secret arrests. President Trump is going to do this. Now, I, you know, I heard all of that in 2020. We have to, as New Zealanders, take full responsibility for ourselves. If we don't do that, then these guys are going to have a party with us. Absolutely no two ways about it. Now, talking about the WEF, let's go here for a second. Now, this is an interesting article that I picked up today, and no pun intended. But prostitutes gather in Davos for the annual meeting of global elite where demand for sexual services rockets during the economic summit in Davos. Look at that. If you're a sex worker, Davos is the place to be. And this whole article is about this woman here spilling the beans on exactly what goes on there. And so what you have is, of course, you've got the World Economic Forum that come out and say that minor attracted people need to be protected. Let's not forget that. Then this thing shows up that prostitutes are saying it's the busiest time of the year for them. Isn't it amazing? Now, look, I'm no prude. I'm no prude. I'm a committed pastor, Christian, deeply in love, husband, and that converted today. But I'm a rock and roller. I was a rock and roller then. And so I'm not approved. But one thing, this is clear here, that the people that are saying they want to rule this world, and they do, they've got some pretty interesting things going on upstairs, don't they? Here's another quick fire article. Look at this guy here. This is Joe Biden, yet again, gets COVID-19. Now, I covered this at the time when this happened. But this drug Paxlovid, is what's all throughout New Zealand today. Who supplies Paxlovid to the New Zealand market as a therapeutic for COVID-19? Pfizer does. Paxlovid is the pack name. Pfizer is the company that makes it. So what's the glaringly obvious thing here? Well, didn't they say that if you got the jab, you wouldn't get sick? Isn't that the whole thing? Isn't that what the records said? That you go and get your jab, and you'll be fine. You won't get sick. Isn't that what we were all told? I think so. I think that's exactly what we were told. But is that true? No. And he's a bearer of bad news. Paxlovid's everywhere. And now we've got monkeypox. Okay. All right. And let's look at this one here. This is Tony Blair. Now, Tony Blair. Who's Tony Blair? Well, he's a former boss of who? Yes, Jacinda Ardern's. Yes, Jacinda Ardern. Tony Blair. A slew of new injectables and vaccines give the World Economic Forum the opportunity to change the world. Just like the Eric Clapton song, "Change the World." You know how it goes. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair has boasted about the elite's opportunity to change the world by taking advantage of a slew of new injectables. According to Blair, who many believe is next in line to replace Klaus Schwab as head of the WEF, there is an ongoing challenge, an opportunity. And I think that is not just about COVID, it's about the fact that we're going to have a whole slew of new vaccines, injectables that are going to deal with some of the worst diseases in the world. So here he is now. He's another doctor like Bill Gates. The globalist former prime minister also praised Big Pharma for how quickly they created COVID-19 vaccines, but claimed that in future vaccines must be regulated and rolled out even faster. Even faster, guys. According to Blair, now this is why we know that Ardern has got a job waiting for her. Very soon, she's going to be patient. You can't make it too obvious. According to Blair, national digital ID systems must be put in place to track and monitor every citizen and ensure they are fully vaccinated and boosted with the slew of vaccines and injectables, which should be rolled out even faster than during Operation Warp Speed. And there he is. Vaccines in our food supply solves the problem of vaccine hesitancy. Is that what you guys want? Do you want vaccines in your food? Because that's what they're trying to organize right now. They're trying to put mRNA into animals and therefore into humans who ingest them. So if you didn't like the idea of being a vegetarian, you may want to consider it now, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to do exactly that. Another thing here that I want to draw your attention to in a quick fire article lineup here is this little article here. The US government hits debt ceiling, Treasury taking extraordinary measures to pay its bills. Now, this is really important, because if the US government defaults, it will cause a massive, massive collapse of epic proportions. Listen to this. The US has hit its debt limit, and now the countdown towards a possible government default has begun. Now, to those of you who are like me, look, I'm no economist. I know the basics. I understand the basic rudiments, if you like, very basic. But I know one thing, that if these guys up there get the flu, we sneeze down here. I think that's how it goes. And when they start talking about the idea of the US government defaulting, that's massive. That's massive. And yet, they're still wanting to send off billions of dollars to the Ukraine. Wonder why? Well, I tell you what, Robert Malone gave me some wicked insights into why that is happening that I didn't know about. Robert Malone, Professor Robert Malone, you know, the co-inventor of the mRNA. Yep, him. He told me what it is, and I can't say it here. But if this happens, guys, then the threats of a global disaster is going to be massive. And you know what? I spent a week down in Dunedin. I was filming all around the area down in South Otago, and it was my first visit to Balclutha and around the area. And I had an amazing time. They are just awesome people. I mean, Andrew and Brian and Michael, heaps of people down there. Nelson, Asher, all these neat folk down there. Beautiful people that I got to interview, look at what they're doing. And one Andrew has 250 hectares, beautiful big farm. And the one next to him, which is gigantic, is being sold. Instead of being a food production unit, it's going to be planted in pine. So this is about food, pine trees, climate change, get rid of food for you and your whānau. Compound that with the idea that we're going to have a climate change set of laws coming that are going to be terrible. It's going to be unbelievable. But look at this article here. Stuff again. New Zealand's biggest climate polluters ranked. This is stuff.co again. Disgusting, filthy people they are. It's the farmers. Fonterra, you're a dairy farmer. Terrible. Look at that. Fonterra, you're just a big bunch of baddies, you farmers out there. So we've got to take your land off you, and we're going to make being in business even harder than what they've made it already. That's what's coming. And these silly people at Groundswell that think by aligning with National, they will get what they want at the election. How foolishly naive is that? The reality is that all of them are in on this. And I don't know, maybe it's easy for me to see because we're on the outside. Is that maybe the deal here? Maybe it is. But I want to now look at this character here. Look at this guy. Let's. We should call him the egg. We're short of eggs. But National leader Chris Luxon reacts to Jacinda Ardern's resignation. Now let's have a listen to what he has to say, because I think you're going to find it interesting.
For us, nothing changes from what we talked about this morning. You know, the reality is New Zealanders want a government to be able to get things done, and they want a government that's going to be able to deal with the cost of living crisis.
Whoops, sorry guys, I'll get rid of that. And so, doesn't he start off saying what I said that they would be saying earlier? Is that their plank will be, our economy is such a mess that we're going to, you know, that they're the ones to fix it. Now I'm just going to go back to that. I got rid of that ad, and let's go for this.
To lift incomes for all, restore law and order, and to deliver better public health and education.
But it gives you a better chance of winning?
Look, I mean, for us, nothing changes. We are just very fixated on the New Zealand people and making sure we actually can get to government and deliver a government that can get things done for the New Zealand people.
And that's the point. To get things done, he reckons. But who for? The New Zealand people will suffer and endure it and be exposed to it, but who for? Because what, you know, if I would believe him, I would believe Winston. I'd believe even David Seymour, who's a liar on feet. Just, I mean, look, they all are. I would believe them if one of them stood out and said, we're going to get rid of the climate change nonsense. We're going to get rid of carbon trading. We're going to stop, you know, the World Economic Forum influence in New Zealand. We're going to get out of Agenda 2030 commitments. We're going to look at works for New Zealand and New Zealanders, and we're going to fix things the way New Zealanders have done it before. None of them are saying it. Let's hear a bit more from them.
How did you find out?
Like all of you, I think. It was actually just through internal text someone sent me. And then we obviously turned on the television and saw the announcement. And again, I just say, you know, it is a pretty difficult and demanding job, and I think she has given it her all, and we should thank her for her public service.
How did your caucus react?
Our caucus was, we got together after we all watched the television, and we all came together and talked about it briefly and about the election date, and then we carried on.
Are you a bit disappointed? Did you want a Luxon versus a Dern sort of standoff?
Oh, look, what I want is I want to be able to get a change of government that can...
To get a change of government. Now, this is not just an issue of a change of government for the sake of changing the government. No, this is not that at all. This is the fact that the left have done, this left, I should say, the left have done their job. Ardern and her government, her band of merry communists and socialists, They've done their job. They've got about, what, 8 more months? No. 8, October, November, December. Yep, 8.5 months or so of government time left. They are going to ruin things. You think it's bad now? I hope I'm wrong. I hope my assessment here is wrong. We've had it bad, but I think it's going to get worse, and they're going to blame overseas pressures on it. They're going to blame, you know, if the US government defaults, boom. But they haven't taken responsibility for inflation in New Zealand. They're going to go for it. And then what will happen is we'll get so blinking desperate by the time we get to October, people are going to vote, would vote for Goofy to run the house if he promised he could do a better job. And this guy, Mr. Conehead, is going to come in and take over. But one thing he will do, because it's not in their cultural remit, all that stuff about the Māori, this and that, gone, Burger. Because they've used those Māori that have been bought and paid for to push all these World Economic Forum, United Nations Agenda 2030 initiatives into council, into that, and it's entrenched. It's entrenched now. So now that they've done their job, thank you very much, you Māori's got your money, ka kite. And that's the sad, sad thing about it. And I've been interviewing such beautiful Māori leaders in this documentary that we're doing that know what's going on. And they're like, how come everyone else has fallen for it? It's because money buys allegiance, money buys loyalty and integrity. It's called filthy lucre in the Bible. And it's not worth earning if you can't earn it properly and with integrity. I tell you, unbelievable, unbelievable. But who is this guy, Chris Luxon? Well, here he is here. Christopher Mark Luxon is a New Zealand politician and former business executive who is currently serving as leader of the New Zealand National Party and as leader of the opposition. However, someone has recently discovered that Christopher Luxon, the leader of the National Party, was a Silicon Valley invitee as well as a Bill Gates Businessman of the Year and award winner. And last but not least, he was no less Jacinda Ardern's Chief of Business Advisory in 2018. And as the last line says, now isn't that interesting? But isn't it interesting? Isn't it just sad? Isn't it just sad? Because politics was designed only to make you believe that your voice really matters in this corrupt system. Now, there's a quote that I've used many times, and I remember reading it, and I can't remember the name of the guy. But there was a British politician from, I think, about the 18th or 19th century, and he said this, that politics was an amazing and beautiful thing because it made the average person think that their voice mattered while everybody went behind the scenes, made up all the deals, made the decisions behind closed doors, and then pretended that they'll listen to the people but went and made the decision anyway because the decision had been made. Now, I saw that approach. Some people call it the Delphi technique today. But I saw that approach when I was at Auckland Council and I hated it, whereby they'd say, oh, we need to have workshops for all these people and engagement workshops and talk about a certain issue so we can then go and, you know, continue on with the project. But I used to say, well, hold on a second, what if they don't agree with this? Well, that doesn't matter, but at least we've engaged with them. That's how corrupt it is. That's how morally corrupt it really, really, truly is. And I hated it, and I didn't agree with it, and I let them know I didn't agree with it. And I used to just make decisions anyway, whether they liked it or not. I used to get in trouble for it, but I used to go, no problem, whatever, that's okay, all good. And I used to just take it on the chin and get on with it. And so that's what I did. But what I do want to say is it does not matter. These people are on the take. And look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Ministers approve Pfizer's COVID vaccine for high-risk children under 5. High-risk children under 5, when most of them have a 99.99% chance of surviving contact with it. This is from December, guys. The Director General of Health has recommended ministers have approved an application by Pfizer to roll out the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to Tamariki. I'll just call them children, won't you? You bunch of wokesters. Just give it a Māori name and it makes it okay, does it? Aged 6 months to 4 years who are at higher risk of severe illness. Earlier Friday, MedSafe provisionally approved an application by Pfizer to roll out the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to 6 months to 4 years. Now, any parent who does that needs, I don't know, I don't want to say anything I'm going to regret later. You hand your baby over to Baal for sacrifice in this way. Golly, may the Lord have mercy on a parent's soul if they allow their babies to do this. Now, the fact is this, and I've said this 100 times now since 2020, my mother has a severe respiratory illness. If she gets pneumonia, it could kill her. She just had pneumonia. She got through it, praise God. Seasonal flu, could kill her. Pleurisy, could kill her. Novel coronavirus, so-called, could kill her. Any one of them could kill her, right? So we've got to look after the vulnerable people. But what is this? What is this article saying? Immunocompromised people, aged between babies, 6 months to 4 years? This is unbelievable. Children in the younger group will get 3 doses, with the second dose given 3 weeks after the first dose and the third dose given at least 8 weeks after the second dose. But what if they're sick? The vaccine was still not recommended for children under 5 who are not in the higher risk category. Or what's a higher risk category? Immunocompromised? So where does it end? What is an immunocompromised child? What does that look like? What does that look like? And given the potential risks involved in it that everybody knows about now, you know about it, I know about it, everyone knows about it. 65,000 New Zealanders have reported adverse events, according to medsafe.govt.nz. Why are they doing this? Will Chris Luxon change it? The same man that said in 2019, you don't get your flu jab if he was Prime Minister, you don't get your pension and your welfare support if you don't get the state-endorsed jab. You better get your food in the ground, family, because they are going to do the business. And he will not be singing from a different song sheet. Now, lastly, just before I say goodnight, I want to say this, I want to share this with you. When I was getting ready to catch the plane on Friday to come home, I stood in the line at Dunedin Airport and I started talking to what I thought was a very nice man. He looked like he was probably in his late 30s and he may have been a doctor. And he looked at me and we were standing in the line talking to him and he said, oh, what brought you down to Dunedin? And I said, I'm doing a documentary. He said, oh, what's that about? And I said, The River of Lies, New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary. And he went, oh, what's that about? And I said, COVID-19 and the harm that the government has caused in the last almost 3 years. And his whole demeanor changed. And we started in this, what started as quite a gentle discussion, into a gentle debate. It's still kind of cool, but a debate. And as I was talking to him, I'm thinking, now this guy, he's onto it. He's either a doctor or he's something to do with this issue. Because he was using statistics like, well, 32% of New Zealanders are obese. That may be so, but there are many obese people who are not unwell with comorbidity. We're talking about the fact that 99.97% of all people are going to walk through this disease. He didn't know what to say to that. So the best thing he could say is, well, 32% of people are obese in New Zealand. Okay, but he didn't win that argument. And we started talking about the promise that the government made on behalf of the producer that the injection would stop you from getting the COVID-19 disease, it would stop you from being infectious, and it was safe for you to take, no worries, no questions needed to be asked, therefore none to be answered. And I said that to him, and he said, and I said, and don't forget, what did they say? That this was going to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated, yet it's the vaccinated that are mostly sick with this. And by the Ministry of Health's own records, that at one point there, about 92% of all people in hospital with COVID were the vaccinated. And you know what his reply was? Listen carefully. He said, well, actually, it's good that the vaccinated people get COVID-19. So when an unvaccinated person catches COVID-19 off them, they get a reduced amount of symptoms and it's not as potent as if they would have if they got it from an unvaccinated person. Let me say that one more time. I'll try and say it even plainer. He said to me, it's good that a vaccinated person got COVID because it meant they would give an unvaccinated person a lower strength virus. I knew right then and there, this guy was cuckoo, cuckoo. You know, and as Kathy said, I planted a seed with this man. I think he was a nice man, I do. But I got on the plane and he put on a mask. And I thought, da-ding, this is a poor man who's been programmed, conditioned into an ideology, and he's all the way down the rabbit hole. If you think you're down a rabbit hole, then think again, because that guy is as well. But this is the point, though. And this is why I've had enough of people talking about the white hats and talking about hanging people, beheading people, and all that, because it gives those idiots at stuff.co.nz, the New Zealand Herald, all of them ammunition for which to tarnish everyone and distract the actual argument, the quality of the argument that we have on our sides, on our side. I don't want to hear from people that are going to swear and carry on with potty mouths. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't. I just don't. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm over that, because that is not what's getting us anywhere. And my advice to you, bottom line, is grow your food if you can. Even if you've got a little patch of dirt, do it. If you live in an apartment above ground, get buckets. Grow things in it as much as you can. Get out of the cities if you can. Get in with other people. Get some land together. Get it paid off. Get out of debt. Get your meds. Get your food. All those things. Because this stuff is coming down the pipeline, whānau. And you know what? And I'm not saying this to be boastful, but I've been pretty good in my assessments, don't you think? I don't think I've been too bad in them. I think I've been pretty good. So let's focus on mitigation. Let's focus on letting these people in Parliament know that we know about the Natural Therapeutics Act. Get in there. Write into them. Tell them you're not up for it. Write to Luxon. Tell them, we believe you, Luxon, if you say you're not going to do all these things to infringe upon my rights and freedoms. You're not going to bring in and regulate natural medicine. You're going to get rid of the three waters, the significant natural areas, the carbon trading, the World Economic Forum influence, Microsoft, everywhere. Get rid of it. UN Agenda 2030, get rid of it. Rockefeller's Smart City Program, get it out of New Zealand. If he came and said that, then he'd be in. Please write to him. Get involved with these things. Submissions for the Natural Therapeutics Act. Get in there and do it. I can't do it and write a big submission. My friends are and have submitted. I don't, because I'm doing a documentary. And I'm so very, very proud of what we've got coming for you guys. Boy, I tell you. You know, absolutely. Melanie says, spot on. You'll always be the original mouthpiece. 100% no conspiracy. Thank you so much, Melanie. I really appreciate that, because that's what we need more than ever. We need calm. We need true vigilance. And we need to be pinpoint in what we're looking at here, whānau. We do. Let us not jump down these rabbit holes and just, you know, because other people are pushing us that way. Think for ourselves. Do our own research, our own work, and keep the peace in your spirit. And guys, I'm just going to, again, just point this out to you as well, that we are doing some amazing work with the documentary. And I think you're going to be very, very proud of what we've got coming up. But I'd also like to say we need your help to do it as well. So if you'd like to donate to the River of Lies New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary, please go to theriveroflies.co.nz, riveroflies.co.nz. riveroflies.co.nz, and you'll find a donate button there as well. You can donate to us. We would be really grateful, because we need to do a lot more. over here. If you'd like to support me in my work, please do so at this account. And this helps me to pay for my phone bill, pay for my broadcasting, feed my whānau, and keep going. I can't do it without it. This is my job now. I don't work for anyone else. I work for you and me, and this is what I do. If you'd like to help me for my legal fees, your donation goes and would go into this account. Thank you so very, very much. Now, also I want to encourage you, these free books are yours. This one here will explain to you why we have the Global Climate Change Sunday Law coming. And I might do a special presentation there on the next day or two, because it's coming. It's been ramped up fast behind the scenes. The climate change thing is going to be what they're going to use to bowl it all over, to lock it all in. Carbon tracing mechanics, along with the vaccine passport and your digital ID system that this former Prime Minister of ours has signed us up for here. Come on, Christopher Luxon, if you are a true Kiwi man of the people, get rid of the stuff and stop it. Nip it in the bud. If you want to know the history, the geopolitical and religious history as to why we are where we are today, this is the way to do it. Do it here. All right? These are free for you. Please email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. billy@ibc.net.nz. If you'd like to join my weekly Bible studies, I would be blessed to have you. Please email me, billy@ibc.net.nz, about that. I'd love to have you join. And last week, I baptized two beautiful sisters and married a beautiful couple. And we've got more baptisms to come up before summer ends. And it's such a privilege to be serving the Lord that way. Seek the Lord while he can be found, whānau. Because time is moving very quick. This is not just a phase of human behavior here. This is going to a culminative point, and God has a plan and he wants you to be a part of it. Don't let that free gift of salvation go to waste. All right, whānau, I'm going to leave it there for tonight. I'm going to go and cuddle my wife. So have a wonderful evening. Please keep the peace in your spirit, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless. Pō marie, and I'll see you soon. Oh, by the way, I'll be going live on Telegram in about 15 minutes. So it's 8:30 now. I'll be going live on Telegram at 8:45, and it'd be nice to see you there. I'll put the link up for you in a second. Thanks, guys. Pō marie.